I'm John Matthews. You were listening to 94.1 KSLG FM Hydesville, Eureka Arcata, streaming and podcasting at KSLG.com. Yesterday in the afternoon, as I was heading out to go to the dentist, I was a little distracted. Suddenly, Hank Sims, he writes for the Lost Coast Outpost. He runs it. He showed me this blog that had featured me recently, Name It, Change It, Sexism and Equality Don't Mix. And I, again, was quite distracted, so I didn't really have much of a chance to read it at the time. And I understood what they were talking about because, let me just try to explain it because it gets a little involved. But again, you can go to the Lost Coast Outpost to find a lot of useful links to explain this. But so here it is, under the headline, Is Denying Sexism Worse Than Committing Sexism? And they have a photograph of me and the word sexist. I'm sexist. And the incident, as is described here, written by Rachel Laris. The incident started when a local news blog, the Lost Coast Outpost, which covers parts of Northern California, endorsed Norman Solon for Congress for California's 2nd Congressional District. But in the course of writing his reasoning for picking Solomon over another potential candidate, Stacey Lawson, Sims wrote that she was a vanity candidate. Apparently, a vanity candidate is what you call a woman who run for office for the first time in a competitive race. That's what it says. It's a mark of how media commentators tend to discount women who run for office. Sims didn't help his case when he closed out his piece writing that in a Democratic primary race, the fight between Stacey Lawson and another candidate, Jared Huffman, would be a half-year beauty pageant, Ken vying with Barbie for top honors. Lawson's Humboldt field coordinator, Sophia Pereira, she responded in the comment section of the article to tell Sims that she was somewhat disturbed by some of the language in his endorsement of Norman Solomon. I'm disappointed in some of these the sexist language used to describe Lawson's candidacy and feel it is important to speak out against sexism in politics especially. And again, she points to the vanity candidate term and then also the Ken versus Barbie idea. So, Hank Sims wrote something mildly sexist. Again, this is according to Name It, Change It. Sophia Pereira called him on it. The incident might have ended there until a radio host, that's me, felt the need to defend Sims' honor of being called out for sexist language on radio station KSLG during the program Things You Should Know with John Matthews. That's not correct. But it's just, that's a segment I do where the news is relayed. That's a couple of points during the day. So it's not the Things You Should Know. Well, these are things you should know anyway, but that's not the name of the program. At any rate, during the program, the host, Matthews, brought up Pereira. You can read the transcript below, but the audio really captures Matthews sputtering outrage. It's my style. That Pereira said that Sims wrote something sexist, and it continues here. So they go through the transcript and then point out that Matthews' utter overreaction, and it's completely to Sims' credit that he does not join Matthews' demonizing of Pereira, is all too often the media's reaction to even the gentlest suggestion that something they produced was sexist. Sorry, Matthews, we do think your reaction to Pereira betrays misogyny. Why don't you examine your reaction instead of assuming nothing you could ever say or do is sexist? And to give you a sense of what was said that morning, which I think was, again, about a week ago, here is a portion of it when Hank sat here beside me. I see someone here who's calling themselves their Stacey Lawson Humboldt Field Coordinator.
Oh, sure. That's Sophia. And that's Sophia Pereira. Yeah, she's I know her. Yeah, she's a great person.
Okay, a great person, no
less. Yeah, she is.
And she's also a fan of Loco, but she seems to suggest that you're sexist. Come on. That's just lame.
I think it's lame. But
honestly, for someone to say that about you, I think is just absurd. I mean, that's literally absurd.
Well, thank you, John.
No, it's true.
I appreciate that.
I think that's just unfortunate.
It would mean more if you were a woman saying this, but I'll take it anyway. Yeah.
But so what is her argument? She's upset that you are using some sexist language in the article. That's not true. That's false. I read it. What she's trying to do, she's trying to make you look bad.
Yeah.
I know that.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you're saying she's a wonderful person. I'm not so sure.
Oh, no. Oh, you when you meet Sophia, and I'm sure you will, she's a gad about town. You will agree that she's a wonderful
person. Perhaps I've already met her.
Could be.
But this is low. And let's meet her now. Sophia Pereira, the field coordinator for Stacey Lawson's campaign. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Well, here we are. There is that piece, again, through Name It, Change It. Did you send the audio to that group? Is that how that wound up on that website?
So I did send the audio. I submitted the incident through the name exchange reporting part of the website.
Okay.
I had no expectations of where that was going to lead to. So I definitely did not have a say in writing the article.
Oh, I know. I understand that. But so do you agree with what they generated as a result?
I do agree. And the thing that I definitely want to be clear about is that I definitely did not call Hankson sexist. You know, like you mentioned, you know, last week, I found in one of the Lost Coast Outpost articles sexist language in reference to Stacey Lawson. And actually, in fact, I would like to give credit to Hank when he did speak with you this past week. And he was able to say he disagreed with me without attacking me. So I think that's a really great step in the right direction.
Okay. But I attacked you. Is that how you view it?
No, I mean, I think that all this that has happened, I think, is a really great opportunity for us to be having these discussions about women in politics and the sexism towards women when they run for office. So I feel like the Lost Coast Outpost language, the response that I had to it, and name exchange, it's kind of summation of all the events, I think is important for sparking this type of conversation. So I don't think it's necessarily about specifically attacking people. I think it's about specifically looking at language that is used and how we can reflect upon it and change it and move forward so that we can be gender neutral in our reporting of women candidates.
And so, just to be precise about it, through the article that Hank wrote, he is not sexist, but he was using sexist language. Is that something you believe?
Yeah, I think it's very possible that someone can write something that utilizes sexist language and can still have negative impacts, whether or not that was their intention. You take an example of referring to Stacey Lawson as a Barbie. This is taking an accomplished woman who grew up in a rural community, put herself through college, started multiple successful businesses as an educator. I mean, the only candidate talking about the economy is being reduced to a Barbie. And when you have that in conjunction with a vanity candidate, which can be used to discount a woman's accomplishments and viability, since it's applied more often to a woman running for office for the first time, you reduce her to a beauty pageant contestant.
But see, that's where you and I disagree, and which is why I defended Hank that morning, because first of all, the idea of vanity candidate, he used that because he laid out rather precisely in that piece why he does not think that she is a serious contender for office, and it's not because she's a woman. It's because of the reasons that he listed there. And then he was making just a joke of sorts in the article about Ken versus Barbie for other reasons that he laid out, Ken being Jared Huffman. And it wasn't to really malign her because of her sex by any means. It's just, and that's why I reacted the way that I did, because I figured that rather than address what was said there, you were trying to sort of throw up this idea that he was sexist and then take us down that road, which I thought was completely misguided, and an attack on him. And that's why I did why I said what I said. And then ultimately, I am now sexist. But worse than that, I'm now a misogynist. And you agree with that in that piece and name a change it? I'm a misogynist?
Well, I'm not here to judge character at all. That is not my place, and that is not why I wrote the comment that I did. I observed sexist language and felt the need to address it head on. And I guess one thing I would like to say is, you know, calling one candidate Ken doesn't make it okay to call a woman candidate Barbie. I think we really have to take into context the way it was used in the article and look at it as a whole. So I understand, you know, that, you know, if we looked at vanity candidate on its own, you know, just as a word, we wouldn't necessarily think that it's sexist, but the way that it was used in this article to talk about a first-time candidate. And I would disagree about the notion that Stacey Lawson is not a serious contender, because Hank Sims himself even said that she is a serious contender and actually has a very good chance of making it into the top two in this open primary.
But again, to you, to go back to the term vanity candidate, he was referring to the idea that she has come to this area to run for office, and that she didn't have a serious voting record in the past, even as a citizen. So there were many reasons why it seemed to him that she was running for reasons that were not exactly as pure as the candidate that he chose at the time, Norman Solomon. So again, that's why I thought the whole sexist idea was not appropriate whatsoever, and that's why I strongly defended him and just thought you were trying to distract from what he was writing just by trying to throw up this smokescreen of, oh, look, he's a sexist. And that's why I disagree with it and disliked it strongly.
Well, Stacey is the only one in this race talking about job creation and the economy, and has a solid background in business. I mean, she co-founded the Center for Entrepreneurship and Technology at Berkeley. And the reality is that women typically run later in life than men for office. And when they do run for the first time, they're often judged a lot more harshly for their credentials when running for office, especially for the first time. You know, I understand that calling a candidate's experience into question isn't sexist. It's the categorization, and sometimes obvious, but it's this assumed requirement that women have to have achieved more success than male candidates before they dare run for office. And you can see that in this race, because when you look at the other candidates in this race that are running for office for the first time, we don't see the same level of scrutiny. And why is that? A young male candidate with a similar background is often perceived as an ambitious go-getter, whereas a younger woman running for office, as we see in this case, her motivations are called into question, and she's, you know, called it basically a resume pattern.
But again, if you can lay out the case that she has done those things, it's not as though that it's completely without foundation. I mean, I guess that's where you and I disagree, that she's being attacked because she is of the weaker sex or something, and that's just not the way that I view it. I just don't think that certainly was not happening in the article that Hank generated.
Well, and what I'm speaking to is specifically the language of using the terms vanity candidate and referring to Stacey as a Barbie and a beauty pageant. I'm not trying to address, you know, critiques of Stacey as a candidate, because obviously overall, we should be having a discussion in this race about all the qualifications of all the candidates. But what I'm speaking to is the implications of using sexist language, such as vanity candidate and Barbie.
Well, that's where you and I part ways. I do not think that what he generated was sexist. But to go to this article, which you did not write. You did not write this. I'm aware of that.
No, I'm
well aware. You did not write this. Her name is Rachel Laris. She is the communications manager at Women's Media Center, and you can read what she put together through Name It, Change It. And there, though, I am referred to as someone who is misogynistic. What I said in my reaction to you betrays some misogyny, that I hate women. Do you agree with that?
I don't think she said that you hate women.
But hang on, because this is serious. I mean, it's not that serious, because it's completely false as far as I'm concerned. But she is saying that my reaction to you betrays some misogyny. No, my reaction to you was based on what you wrote through the Lost Coast Outpost. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're a woman.
Well, like I said, I definitely don't feel comfortable speaking to what, you know, Rachel Laris is.
But do you agree with it? That's all I'm asking. I mean, do you think I'm a misogynist? Seriously?
No.
Thank you.
I don't think that discounts the criticisms of responses to these incidents. I think that as a society that, that people need to be okay when their sexism is called out and when sexist language is used, is being able to go, okay, let me think about this. I need to reflect upon it. You may not agree after reflecting upon it, but the fact that we're having these conversations are so important because it allows for more women to run for office when we start to change the landscape and start to change the way media talks about women. Women don't run for often as men because of things like this. It's because the fear of how am I going to be attacked for being a woman when I run for office? Am I really going to get a fair shot at being portrayed as a legitimate candidate? And so that's why I'm supporting a candidate like Stacey Lawson, who has, you know, many wonderful qualifications because of her background in small business and in education, but also because she has that woman's perspective that we desperately need in Congress. We have only 17% of women making up Congress. I think we're ranked 78th out of all the countries out there for women representation. So that's something we really need to address, and one way to address that is by changing the way the media refers to women candidates.
And the ideas that Hank actually produced through the Lost Coast Outpost in no way reflect sexism, in my opinion. So, I mean, just to hammer that home, so you and I have a serious disagreement on that. And while there is sexism in the world, and I know that's the case, and certainly women are attacked constantly when they run for office and for other things. It's terrible. I understand that. But I think it's important to actually call out true cases of sexism so that it sort of furthers the cause rather than just throwing that term around when it doesn't apply. And therefore, it hurts your future attempts to truly combat it, in my opinion. So that's what I think is happening here. And that's why, again, I reacted as strongly as I did, because it just seemed like it just seemed false to me completely. Cool. And let me just say, so I did get a hold of Rachel Laris yesterday, and I called her on my way to the dentist, so I had not had a chance to read what she had put together. And I asked her to come on with me this morning, and she declined. She said that she was busy, and I did try several times to change the time or the length of time we could speak, and offered her any day that she wanted. But that was an impossibility, and she went to have a conversation with someone, and then it became clear that this was not going to happen. She said possibly the week of June 11th, which I find somewhat baffling, considering she put together this piece. She's the communications manager over in Washington, D.C., and she can't spare 15 minutes to come on and talk to me after she referred to what I said as misogynistic. And I find that just wonderfully strange. And so now I'm faced with the situation where I've been labeled this unfairly, in my view, and then I just have to live with it. I mean, what would you suggest I do?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things I want to touch on, and I definitely don't think that it is my role or Rachel Laris's role to reaffirm, you know, what you feel, that's not sexist. I think what the role of that, you know, that article, and what the role of, you know, my response to the Lost Coast Outpost article is to challenge this use of sexist language and to challenge the way we talk about women candidates in office. And so sometimes that may require, you know, some more reflection on how we ourselves use language. So I really hope, and it sounds like, even though you have a disagreement, that it sounds like, you know, you're starting to have this reflection, which I think is really important. One other thing I did want to bring up is, you mentioned that, you know, that bringing up something like this kind of deflects from the larger issues, or takes away from the larger issues of sexism. I mean, I guess the thing is that when we think of the way that women are talked about in the media, we can think of, you know, really extreme examples that are absolutely sexist. I mean, you think about Rush Limbaugh and how he spoke about Sandra Fluke, and, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the radio, but
sure, do it, do it.
You know, and how he called her a slut for, you know, speaking out about women representation in congressional testimonies about birth control. You know, that obviously had a huge response across the country. But the thing is if we only wait for those types of blatant sexism to come out, we really become desensitized to the smaller instances that allow for those big instances to happen. So if we allow small passes all the time, this is, you know, with sexism or pretty much any other type of ism, the more we let those things slide, oh, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, it creates an environment where it allows for someone to go to that far extreme. And, I mean, the negative impact of that is that, you know, there are so many women across the country that are running for office, and an organization like Name It, Change It is following the way that women are talked about in the media. But the thing is that one organization alone can address how media talks about women candidates. I mean, it really has to be each of us as individuals, you know, seeing where the sexist language lies and calling it out for what it is on a local level.
But again,
you can't send it to a third-party organization.
I understand that, Sophia. I understand that. But again, we're getting back to the idea of what was actually written through the Law's Quest Outpost that started all this, and I completely disagree with you calling what Hank produced as sexist. So therefore, to me, this is just not real. You and I have just a complete disagreement on that. And I am someone who is sensitive to sexism in the world, and racism for that matter. So then suddenly to find myself in a position where this woman who does not know me and who won't talk to me about it right now, she may in the future. I'm hopeful that in June we can talk about that. But it's just mystifying that she decided to do that and then not talk to me. But again, it's not your fault that she's not doing that. I understand that you did not write this. I'm just again perplexed that you view what Hank wrote as sexist. That's all. And I think that what he did was he laid out why he thought that Stacey Lawson was a weak candidate, and then you pounced and said that that was sexist, and I disagree. It's not because she's a woman. It's because he thinks she's a weak candidate.
Well, like I said before, I was not taking issue with the article as a whole and not attempting to have an article rewritten or in any way, but to really challenge the specific uses of language that were sexist. And, I mean, that is what I responded to very clearly and respectfully, with no intention of asking for a different outcome. I mean, what I asked for, you know, the Lost Coast Outpost to do in response to my comment was to take the Name It, Change It media pledge, which is to pledge to be gender neutral in reporting. And something that's really exciting is that I believe as of yesterday, Jen Savage, who's a writer for the Lost Coast Outpost and used to work at, you know, for KSLUG, and Mike Bonkers.
She still does.
She still does. Okay, yeah. Great. No, you know, they both signed this Name It, Change It media pledge to be gender neutral in their reporting. And I really hope that the rest of, you know, the contributors to Lost Coast Outpost, including Hank Sims, and also yourself, you know, take this pledge as well, because do you see a different role for this type of language in our politics?
What I see is an organization that got this story completely wrong. So I am concerned about their ability to sort of rationally view the world. That's what I see. And So therefore, am I going to sign the pledge? No, I operate in that way. I don't attack someone because they're a woman or use language in a way that suggests that they're weak because of their gender. That's just not who I am. So therefore, I don't need to sign this pledge to affirm that in any way. I support others who choose to do it if they feel that's necessary. But there are other ways of behaving in the world that I will pursue. And that's my other thing. Do you think that they got this story right? That they characterized what happened here as accurate, and they are not overplaying it?
I don't think that there's an exaggeration. I think what
But you said you disagree with her. You said that you disagree with her idea that I'm a misogynist.
But I don't disagree with the response in that interview to what I wrote. Did betray some, you know, some sexism to not.
Do you think what I did was sexist or misogynistic? I mean, they have a photograph of me there now with the word sexist next to my face. Do you agree with that?
Well, what I'm saying is that I recognize, and this is similar to what I, you know, was saying in reference to what was written by Hank Sims, is that, you know, I can't speak to an individual's character and what they feel in their hearts, but I can, if I see there to be sexist language or a sexist response to something, I can recognize that and I can, you know, call it out for what it is. And which is also, I think the.
Do you think what I did? Do you think what I did was sexist?
I think that the article brought up a really good point. You know, I think the article was titled, "Is Denying Sexism Worse Than Committing Sexism?" And I think it does bring
up... Do you think what I did was sexist, yes or no? Am I being sexist right now?
I think that all of this is really important for having a discussion and highlighting these issues. I don't think that me... I'm not, like I said, I'm not here to talk about, you know, you as a person and who you are, or Hank Sims as a person and whether or not you both are sexist, but I can speak to the responses and reactions and can speak to language that is used. You know, I think being open to the critique of being sexist, I think is important. I think we, you know, if someone says, you know, I think the way you address this was sexist and had sexist undertones to it. I think it's important.
Am I being sexist right now?
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know either, because that's why it's so confusing. I don't think anything I've done is sexist. I'm responding to a situation where I've been called sexist and misogynistic, or I've betrayed some misogyny within my soul. And so I'm asking you, that is that accurate? Or is that how you view things? Because I disagree with you strongly, therefore I'm sexist. And then that's why I am troubled by these labels. I would never call somebody a racist unless I could really back it up. Or I wouldn't call somebody a sexist unless I could really say, look at that. It's not sort of like a shade of sexism where it's suddenly the case where they could be sexist. I will go back and listen to the context, the intent. And again, I'm also aware that you didn't write this. But I'm sensitive to the idea that you think that what is happening here is sexist. And I'm asking you, am I being sexist right now? Just so I understand what is happening.
Well, I mean, right now, I'm just glad that we're having a conversation.
Well, so am I, but I want to have a real conversation where you address the questions I'm asking.
Well, I guess I feel like, you know, we could be talking in a, you know, a calmer approach to this. I guess the thing is
a calmer approach. I'm just being direct. That's just who I am. If you knew me, you'd understand that. It's not as though I'm trying to drill down on you in a harmful way to hurt you. I'm just trying to get you to answer the questions, Sophia. I've been called a sexist, which is fine. It's okay. It's fine. I disagree. People who know me, I believe, will also back me up on that one. So that's why I'm just trying to understand or perhaps convey to you that when you start throwing these words around, it becomes a distraction from the larger points that were brought up in a piece that I don't think is sexist at all. And that's where you and I part ways, apparently. But just to suddenly say that someone is sexist, I think is as strange as in this particular case. And then that's why I reacted the way I did, where I couldn't believe it.
Well, I definitely don't think that I mean, I guess the thing that I guess what I'm wondering is if you, you know, do you need me to validate that you're not sexist?
No, I don't.
You know,
but you seem to believe that. I'm asking you, I want your honest opinion. That's all I want. I don't need your validation. Period. But I just want to know how you view the world.
Well, I think I've been pretty clear about
But in this particular case, just so I know what is coming down the pike, and is this sexist? And by the way, I realize you didn't write the article, but at the time you thought that that was a good place to air these concerns that you had. So, I mean, by the way, do you still support them? I mean, is this again?
I stand by fully what I wrote. And that's why I agreed
I appreciate that. But, I mean, do you still support Name It, Change It and, what they're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, we need organizations like Name It, Change It, I mean, this is a nonpartisan organization. I mean, when there are attacks towards, you know, Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin, they are also on the front lines, you know, combating and addressing that sexism. I mean, we absolutely need advocates, you know, talking about the way that media, you know, portrays women and the language that's used and also the tone as well. So I think there absolutely is a place for an organization like Name It, Change It. So I'm really glad that it can be a part of this overall conversation of how, you know, can we change the way we talk about women candidates so that women candidates like Stacey Lawson and others from across the country have a fair shot of being equally, you know, fairly portrayed in the media and not having a gender bias in the language that's used.
And, so, yes?
Oh, no, please go ahead.
Okay. But now that you have, I guess, involved yourself with the campaign now for how long have you? How long have you been her field coordinator here in Humboldt County, Stacey Lawson's field coordinator?
I've been with the campaign since November.
Okay. Have you worked on other campaigns before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, really? Okay. And those have gone well?
Well, I mean, I've volunteered for some. I've been involved with a city council race in Arcata. You know, so I've been involved in different capacities. But most recently, I actually met Stacey Lawson when I was in Washington, D.C. I was doing a fellowship with Women's Campaign Fund, which they work to get pro-choice women elected to all levels of government. And so it was my responsibility to, you know, be researching and following, I think, about 100 federal races from across the country. And so it was actually really amazing to see the diversity of women candidates and coming from all different backgrounds. And, you know, we desperately need more women in Congress at all levels of government, especially. You know, that's one of the many reasons why, you know, I'm supporting Stacey Lawson for Congress.
Okay.
That's why I called her up and said, what can I do? How can I help you?
And things are going well as far as you're concerned. You think that she is possibly going to pull it out? She will wind up in Congress.
Well, I sure hope so. She is, you know, polling in the top two, things are, you know, going very well. I mean, this campaign has absolutely been the momentum campaign, and there's been a lot of, you know, growth throughout the months, and it's been a really exciting campaign to be a part of. I mean, being a part of a campaign where the, you know, focusing on issues like the economy and putting people back to work and, you know, rebuilding the middle class. I mean, those are things that I think are really important. You know, my parents, you know, have had small businesses, and so I think it's important that we have someone that can to speak to those issues and really have a background focus on those things.
And just so I understand what's happened in the past, have you ever approached a media organization before and suggested that what they had produced was sexist?
No, this is actually the first time. And I have to say, I really have to thank, you know, my time at, you know, Women's Campaign Fund for really being able to see the bigger picture. I mean, when I was following races all over the country, it's amazing to, you know, to see, you know, the different challenges that women candidates face, and the challenges that, you know, that prevent women from running for office. So that really, you know, I feel like I've been a women's rights advocate, you know, in spirit, but I feel like, you know, that experience really empowered me to address sexist language even on a local level. And obviously I can't, as one person, address all sexism that's said in our local media, but I hope that this can serve as an example for others of that it is okay to call things out, and it's okay to, you know, if you have that gut feeling, to call it out and address it and spark a conversation like this.
Sure.
So I think it's really great and lays the groundwork for other women candidates.
Certainly, absolutely. And there is a counter to that, that someone who is actually involved may say that they disagree with you, that it's not sexist entirely or even at all. And that's the position that I take.
The thing is that we can only hope that, you know, when having these discussions, that all parties involved are, you know, definitely taking the time to, you know, seriously reflect upon, you know, what's being called out. I think the thing is that women have been tough for a very long time. I mean, women have dealt with sexism every day of their lives. Sometimes they don't even recognize it anymore because we've become so desensitized to it. But I definitely think that, you know, this isn't about, you know, me or women toughening up and being able to just accept this type of language. It's about society as a whole toughening up when this stuff gets called out and being able to, you know, reflect upon it and, you know, hopefully being able to you know, pivot and change the way
if it needs to be changed. Because, again, I maintain, not to keep going in circles, is that what Hank wrote that one day was not sexist, and he was drawing attention to what he thought were her serious shortcomings, and then I defended him, and now I've been called sexist and misogynistic as a result of that. So that's where we are, which is fine. But I'm a little confused by it. But
I mean, we can have a difference of opinion on this. I think we probably are viewing these scenarios slightly differently. And, you know, I think as long as we're, you know, having the conversation, you know, I think that's a good starting point. I definitely don't think that, you know, we're definitely not in a post-sexist society. I mean, we do live in a sexist society. And, you know, most often the sexism flies under the radar. So this is really about, you know, bringing the stuff to light and talking about it, so that it lays the groundwork for other women to feel comfortable running for office, and that women that are currently running for office are given, you know, equal reporting in the sense of the language that is used.
Indeed. But again, the starting point here is that I'm a misogynist. I'm just a little perplexed by it, but it's fine. It's fine. Thank you very much, Sophia, for talking to me, and I do hope to talk to you again. I do.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, you are welcome. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That is Sophia Prayer. She is the field coordinator here in Humboldt County for Stacey Lawson, and Stacey Lawson is running for Congress. You can read all about this through the Lost Coast Outpost and what the original offense was, my response to it, then the name it, change it reaction, and it's all laid out there in exquisite detail.